Well, we thank God for His presence with us, surrounding us, and certainly need Him each step of the way this week. So draw close to the Lord, and He'll draw close to you. I did want to give you thanks from Woody and Ruth Lauffer, as Woody recovers in the hospital from a pretty significant pneumonia, you know, being in his late 80s, really tough to get over that. But Ruth, thanks you for your prayers, and so does Woody, getting a little bit stronger every day. So God bless them, and keep praying for them and many others. And we also extend our sympathy to Jeff and Becky Ewing in the homegoing of Becky's aunt this past week. Pray for the family. The Lord said, "You shall not steal." And that's the eighth commandment. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. And if God were just to give us one commandment, "You shall not steal," and not give us any other commandments, that would teach us a lot about the Lord and about our life and how we handle very important parts of His creation. Our soul, not to steal it for ourselves. Our will, not to steal that for ourselves. The things that we have belong to God. So as we grab them for ourselves, you know, we're on the verge of breaking this commandment. And this commandment, like all the others, is a really good teacher to lead us to Christ. And if we take a serious look at it and let God speak to us, well, I think you and I will drop to our knees and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Because we could see in this commandment alone, if it was the only one we had, the holiness of God, our need for Christ, and how He shines through this commandment to us as a gift. So stealing is a huge problem in our hearts and in our culture. The church I came from up in Erie County, one of the folks in the church was sales representative for a group of stores. It was 7-Eleven or Stop and Go type stores in the county, just about 12 or 15 of them or so. And he would travel around and help them, you know, do their work well. And he told me that just in 1 year, those stores would lose over $1 million worth of merchandise from people taking them, taking stuff. You know, and a lot of it was employees. That's a lot of ho-hos and Twinkies to be going out the door without getting paid for. And in the workplace, often there's theft of a passive-aggressive kind, you might say, or because of sloth. Somebody did a survey where, on the average, every worker in the United States, whether, you know, whatever job you have, you kind of steal from the company 6 weeks worth of activity because you're not working during those times that you're supposed to be working. I've had jobs like that, you know, where there's nothing to do. You twiddle the thumbs and you collect the check and you think, "Oh, brother, you feel like a thief. That's no good." And I've had jobs, too, where the employer has stolen from me. He says, "Come and work this job." And all of a sudden I was supposed to work 8 hours, and I was working 10, 12, huge amounts of time. And he said, "That's okay, you know." And I would say, "Well, I wonder if I just came in 2 hours late tomorrow, would that be okay with you?" So theft in the workplace reminds me of a story of a timid man who wanted one day off. He said, I just want one day off." He goes and asks the boss. The boss says, "So you want one day off, do you? Well, let's think about this. There's 365 days a year. You get 2 days off every week already, times 52. And that leaves you only 261 days for work. Besides that, you're away from work 16 hours a day. All those times you're not working. And that cuts down 170 days. That only leaves 91 days a year for you to work. You take 15-minute break in the morning, 15-minute break in the afternoon. You're an hour on lunch. You know, you're hanging around the water fountain. You're doing the bathroom trips. And that cuts out about 69 days of work with all your social activities. Now you're down to 22 days for work. We give you 5 paid holidays every year. plus two personal days, which you always take, you're down to 15 days for work. And we give you 2-week vacation. You only have 1 day to work. And you want that one off. You got to... Well, that... The tricky math by the boss points to a problem of not giving, but rather taking. Somebody said a kleptomaniac is somebody who tries to help himself with everything because he can't help himself. And that's really a scrambling kind of lifestyle. Somebody sang in a song, as a thief, I never took anything that I really didn't need. You know, in the life of the life of the thief is a desperate life. And it speaks of a desperate heart, trying to survive, perhaps, trying to make it on their own. I'm not saying, I will trust God and He will provide. Somebody came up a list of how we steal. Shoplifting, overtaxation. That was Zacchaeus' problem, wasn't it? Oh, I took more than I should, so now I'm going to pay back. Not paying taxes. Gambling, trying to get something for nothing. The New Jersey Turnpike, one time, they did an extra project on the road, and they said, we're just going to have envelopes shooting out of the slots, and people will mail in their toll. And it was 26,000 cars went through after a week or so. And 585 mailed back their fee. And over 24,000 were out stealing. Sometimes other ways to steal, robbing children of innocence, either through corruption or through pushing toward adulthood. Be like me. I steal the way God made you. But why don't you be, you know, your parents love you and have a wonderful plan for your life. And sometimes churches will steal the dignity of others. We love you and we have a wonderful plan for you, every one of your lives. And we'd like to tell you what to do all the time. Steal your life from you. Sometimes false advertising is stealing. Refusing to give to the Lord tithes and offerings can be stealing. Cheating on exams, not passing passing unqualified students. Taking pride for self as opposed to giving glory to God. Mike excellently preached on that last week. God says, you shall not steal. Don't take what does not belong to you. The Bible says, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather work so that you can have something to share with those in need. So instead of being a taker, you become one who passes on blessing, one who gives. Think of the life of Jesus. The choir, part of their song was, he was rich, he became poor. Christ didn't come grabbing. Christ came to give even his life for you and me. He was always wanting to honor the Father, always wanted to bless others around him. And sometimes we would steal in terms of time, steal in terms of love. The love we are called to give to God and people. We say, I'll just hoard for myself. That's a stealing. Sometimes we steal land by the way we misuse it. We steal what God has made us by not taking care of it. Shakespeare said, sometimes we'd try to steal the dignity of another person by what we say about them. Rob them of being made in the image of God or being loved by God in some manner. He wrote this. He said, a good reputation in a person is very precious. He said, take my purse and you steal my trash. Because that doesn't last. There's a lot of junk in there. Half my wallet's filled with junk. But he said, but take my good name and you make me poor indeed. How we would steal from another by how we treat them or what we say about them. The Bible says, what do you have that you did not receive? And so to know that everything we have is a gift from God, it belongs to Him. So we don't have to steal. We can learn contentment. Learn contentment as a gift. Sometimes we steal from God when it comes to our lives, but also gifts and offerings we would bring Him. Story of a little boy coming home from church. His pockets are full of dollars and quarters. His parents says, Where'd you get all that? Did you get that at church? He said, yeah, don't worry. They have plates and plates full there. And sometimes churches have stolen from people by pounding people for offerings or having God's offerings and misusing them, and there's corruption there. And sometimes people have stolen from God in terms of the offering or gift we would bring Him. As when I was a young Christian starting out, for a good while, I didn't know anything about offerings or tithes. And so I would just go to church and there I was. That wasn't an important part of the service. I figured I was there for the singing and for the message and, you know, connect with some people. And that was good. I was in the fellowship of Alibaba and the thieves. You know, the Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord. So if it belongs to Him, I grab it out of His hand. And I keep it for myself. I make my Sunday morning heist. You know, and that was no good for me in my relationship with God. And then I hear in God's word that the tithe belongs to God and offerings to Him. And then I'm not to rob God in that way, not to rob Him. And I learned how to give joyfully. And I found as a Christian, one of the most simple ways to honor God. I might be struggling in my prayer life. I might be struggling in loving others or being an effective witness. But to give to God is a simple command. A fourth grader can do it. And so repent like me. Repent like I did and am. Don't rob God. Give to Him cheerfully, thankfully, as a way of saying, I love you, Lord. Make it a reflection of love, not a standard of love, or else you become a Pharisee. Sometimes I've given to God the tithe and the offering. They were sour gifts because I didn't care about God at that point or people at that point. I was stealing from God, even though I was giving what He required. It's like the husband and wife, there was no love between them, but the wife gave the guy a big diamond ring. And here he said, this is expected. And the man said, keep your diamond ring. Because there was no heart love there. Do not steal love. Do not steal honor to God. Give to Him joyfully. And when you might think, where does all our thieving come from? The desperate heart of a thief. If you've ever known people who steal, they are desperate. They're always kind of trying to cover their tracks. You know, sometimes we do that with God. I'm gonna come to church, cover my tracks as much as I could so I can, you know, come to worship and feel half decent about what's going on. Whew. A terrible way to live. Instead of open-hearted before God. Jesus preached about stealing in Mark chapter 7. He said, from out of the men's hearts, from within, comes theft. It's a scrambling lifestyle. If you think you don't have a sin problem there, think again. It was the Pharisee in Luke 18 who prayed about himself. He stood up and prayed this way. He said, Lord, I thank you I'm not like other men. And the first words he used was, like robbers. He thought robbers were desperate, poor kind of people. He was not one of them. But you know what he was stealing? He was stealing his soul from God. He was closing it off and saying, mine, my religion. And God was there, available if he would turn to God. One man said about himself, he said, I am a self-made man in all ways. And another man who was concerned said, you know, you just robbed God of being your creator and your redeemer. Because you are not your own. Christ bought you with a price. Therefore, honor Him in what you do. What change in your life could happen if you say, everything belongs to God. I don't have to steal. in heart or in attitude, with love or with my will or in actions. Ravi Zachariah talks about an experience he had at Iowa University and a change that began to happen in one young lady's life. He shared there in a secular setting. It was difficult because folks looked at life as if God wasn't important at all. So he was there to say, God's at the center of everything. So he gives his message. And a Christian had invited an agnostic, very intelligent agnostic, to the service or to the seminar. And so the message was given. There was questions and answers. It was a tough time. And going home, the Christian was just making small talk and trying to say a few things that might be helpful to the agnostic. The agnostic wasn't saying a word, committed to being uncertain, you know, you might say. And so finally the Christian turned and said to her, Well, what did you think? And she said, according to Zachariah, she said these words, very powerful. I wonder if it's true in his private life or in his heart. Is Jesus really real in his heart to the extent that it does give freedom and grace to every area of life? And who knows why she was an agnostic? Who knows why she just stood back and said, no, I got to survive. I got to be a thief. Maybe her attitude was desperate. Maybe it was, which you may have said many times, if I don't stand up for myself, who's going to stand up for me? And she thought she had to steal her life away to be safe. Whereas God would say to her and to you and I, I'll stand up. For you. I'll be for you. You don't have to try to steal your life away or steal anything else away. You don't have to try to find safety by scrambling and gambling and hoarding in a survival killer instinct mode. You can be set free to be a giver of life as Christ is the giver of life. And God can set our hearts free like that. Is he real in your heart? You know he's powerful. In your heart, are you trying to steal your mind, your soul, your life? At that point, an offering. What's an offering? A Twinkie. What's a Twinkie? God's talking about where you're at. God would like to claim again, if you'd open your hand, what belongs to him. Your mind, your soul, something beautiful he made, your will, that precious gift that can be yielded to him, your love, wedded with his love, and now what a powerful force God works in your life. He gave you those beautiful gifts. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Could you say to Jesus, Lord, my soul, my mind, my heart, my will, all I have, gifts of God, those around me, gifts of God. I don't need to steal. I just need to take good care of what you've given and give a lot of thanks because you've given so much, Jesus, even yourself. What a Savior who can deliver us from being a thief. And have a brand new walk with him. When Jesus died on the cross, which we commemorate today at communion, remember, he chose to die next to a thief. There he was. Maybe that, you could say, that looks like me up there. He chose to die next to a thief. And the thief was desperate. The only thing he could say was, Lord, remember me when your kingdom comes. And Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Christ embracing the thief, giving him a new life forever. He might have an hour left, but he had a new life forever with God. And might we take Jesus like that today? Let's bow and pray to him.